This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with me, Melissa Idris, also Kusu Chuang and Tan Chung Han. Now, coming up on The Breakfast Grill in just about 50 minutes or so, we have Mr. Kim Young Hyun, CEO of MPCJ Wow Shop, Sundram Berhad. So CJ Wow Shop essentially is the home shopping, the TV home shopping channel by Media Prima. They partnered with a South Korean home shopping company called CJO Shopping to launch a version here in Malaysia. And the idea is to have home shopping, to introduce home shopping to Malaysia, not just through TV, but also through the website and through an app platform. So they are really quite interesting times for media companies all around, because, you know, they're moving away from traditional media, which is bleeding money, and now looking for different revenue streams.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you guys. Like, you got to have a lot of downtime to be able to plunk yourself down in front of the TV and go through the different, infomercials or sales pitches that they'll have, you know, before then choosing to buy a particular product that you like, right? I mean, I've seen it really, really work in the States. You know, it's definitely
QVC, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, yeah. QVC and the Home Shopping Network and all that stuff. And, you know, it's fun sometimes to watch. But again, the demographic that tends to be associated with that kind of medium,
we're not the target market.
Yeah, you know, it's.
I mean, this is entertainment retail, and I can't think of something more mind-numbing than watching some people trying to sell me a washing machine.
Have you guys not watched it? Because it's such a time suck. I love it. So before you know it, it's like 3 hours has gone, and you're like, wow, this woman's trying to sell me this bracelet, and I'm buying.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like you think about these things that, you know, your life was fine before you started watching this, and now you're like, you know what, I really need that third mop that costs $150.
Also, the ab crunch, don't forget that.
Yeah, the ab crunch. You know, yeah.
Just like, make the motion.
It goes on and on and on. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to do crunches in the studio. All right, well, with more on that on CJ Wow Shop, and apparently they're doing really well. They're growing quite fast. So I'm going to get more details on that with the CEO, Kim Young Hyun. That's on The Breakfast Grill just after the 8 o'clock news. But coming back to Eco World International, which is the overseas property arm of Eco World Development Group, they are hoping to fetch a fair and reasonable valuation for their upcoming IPO. Now, this IPO is set to take place, I think, the first week of April, and so far I think they've got an illustrative price of R1.20 per share.
So market cap when this listing goes through, will be about 2.88 billion ringgit. Arguably the sexiest IPO listing that we have on our radars for this year. No offense to Serba Dynamic and Kip Reed, you know. But again, I mean, it is the property space. So Malaysian investors, you know, we do like our property. You know, they tend to gravitate to this kind of brands. And of course, Eco World, you know, it's not a new brand. So, you know, very familiar with local investors.
Well, it's kind of like a new brand compared to, say, like an IGM or Sime Darby. But I just want to say, it's a good point that you raise, Han, because in terms of the listed sphere, we've got property companies coming out of our ears. We've got small developers, big developers, medium-sized developers, budget developers, township developers. We've got REIT developers. We've got all kinds of stuff, right? And one has to wonder why it is that Eco World International is coming out at a time when the property sector is going through a bit of a slump. And when you analyze and go beyond the numbers, Eco World will only be starting to pay dividends 3 years or 2 years from now in 2019. And I think maybe the glitz from Eco World International will come from the foreign flavor, the international project. And one of the biggest projects is in London at Battersea with their partnership. No, sorry, that's Setia.
Setia,
sorry.
Yeah. So
in Australia.
They've got London and Sydney. Yeah. Yes.
London and Sydney, yeah. So, you know, obviously, Sydney is going through a bit of a property market correction, and London is at record high. So you've just got to wonder why it is that Eco World International appears to be pushing through their IPO so aggressively.
Well, at least, you know, looking from this story here, they're going to try to pay off some of their debts, you know, and they've got borrowings that are denominated obviously in the Aussie dollar and also the pound, given their properties in London and Sydney. And of course, you know, about half of it will be using for working capital and other land acquisition purposes. But I think, you know, in terms of the timing, Chuang, going back to the point that you raised, I mean, at least from an equity standpoint, you know, it is seen to be on a bullish trend, not just here in Malaysia, but around the world. So, you know, perhaps the timing would be right. You know, so they go in now with the extra fervor from equity investors. They could raise more now than, say, you know, if they had gone into the market, you know, 1 or 2 years ago, right? Because over the last 3 years, the FBM KLCI, for example, saw 3 consecutive years of net declines.
Yeah.
Well, not a lot on a like for like, but say not for like for light comparison. But Aramco is coming out with oil prices are recovering. We've seen that hedge funds have taken a record long position on West Texas, and we've had people like Khun Goh saying that, you know, he's reckoning $60-$65 a barrel for oil. So that's a nicer story than a property market, which is, well, at best moribund at this point in time. So, but protectively, I guess, for Equal World International, they've got 6 banks lining up to sell, to buy up about a fifth of their enlarged capital base, 6 of the biggest banks in the country. And they've also got the fair valuation in a way, because at 1.12 times book value, it's not, you know, aggressively priced.
Right. Also, coming out of this news flow, we've got the EPF and PNB, which is a good segue to our next story here. But real quick, the EPF, though, and along with the and PNB have subscribed to about 18% of the institutional portion of the IPO. So that's about 140 odd million shares or so. You know, so again, it looks like they've got that corner of the offering secured. I think the retail one is also at about 17-18%, I believe. You know, so yeah, well, the banks that you mentioned just now, they have looked to underwrite about 17% of the retail portion. So, you know, things are moving along. They've got the pieces in place, and hopefully, you know, come, I think, what, first week of April?
Yeah, first week of April.
We could see this IPO yet another property player on the local bourse.
Well, as you mentioned, Han, EPF is still in the news now. Over the weekend, EPF announced a dividend rate of 5.7%. Yesterday, they had their press conference. Of course, we had lots of questions for them, and they answered most of them. EPF is saying now that they are hopeful of lower impairments in 2017 on expectations of a better performance in the local stock market. The brunt of the impairments, as we discussed yesterday, was eight billion ringgit worth of impairment. EPF says the brunt of it was from listed equities. 73% of it was from local equities. 27 was from foreign equities. So we caught up with Dato' Sharir, the CEO of EPF, yesterday, and here he is outlining why it incurred such high impairments.
What happens basically is that over the last few years, like I said, because Bursa has declined for 3 years straight, right? So market prices of equities, particularly on Bursa Malaysia, have been driven down to the points where they are close to or below our book value. That's why we have to make the impairment. In terms of amount, yes, 8 billion is probably in absolute amount, probably the highest we've made. But you have to remember that it's in the context of the size of the EPF, which is about 730 billion in size. So as an impairment, as a percentage of total assets, roughly about 1.2% of total asset values. So as an impairment against our total asset value, it's not very much. It's only minus 1.2%.
That was Dato' Sharir Rizal Rizwan, CEO of EPF. Now, when pressed further if EPF would pay higher dividends in 2017, he declined to answer.
Well, you know, it might be the lowest in something like 6 or 7 years in terms of dividend payments, but who is going to give you 5.7%, you know, risk-free, essentially, in this day and age? And for a fund that size, 730 billion ringgit, that's actually quite a good achievement. And, you know, contrary to what a lot of people think, that EPF is this and that and the other, at this point in time, and given the kind of payouts they've been giving the last few years, no brainer, like, got to keep it in there, man.
Right. Well, you know, yeah, and at the same time, although he didn't really, and he being Dato' Sharir, didn't exactly address the prospects of higher dividend for this year, but he did say that, you know, that is very much contingent on how the equity space performs.
Yeah, of
right?
course, it's only been 2 months. Not even 2 months has elapsed in 2017. So why are we asking him about 2017?
Well, yesterday we also discussed EPF stake in MBSB, NRHB, that's the Malaysian Building Society as well, right? So MBSB. So another criticism leveled at EPF was the high concentration of shareholding in these companies, in these banks. But Dato' Sharir has said that its stake in these groups had to be considered relative to, again, the overall size of the fund.
So if you look at MBSB, yes, we own 65%. It's a bit of a historical anomaly. But As a percentage of our total AUM, is very, very small. It doesn't even get close to 1% of our total AUM. So in those two cases, I think over time, as basically things develop, and as you know, MBSB is currently in the process of basically in discussions with another bank for a potential merger, we may have opportunities for us to look at our holdings. But I think, as in everything else, you know, the EPF is very patient capital. We don't need to sell unless we think basically there's compelling value for us to sell. And so again, in these two investments, we are happy to hold on as long as they pay good dividends. And MBSB in particular and RHB as well have been paying decent dividends to us.
Well, he's got a point, right? Because MBSB and RHB are, you know, they're basically banks, and probably the best sector in terms of printing money is concerned, other than being a bank Negara. But the other legacy holdings, MRCB. So, you know, EPF's been holding it since time immemorial.
Yeah, well, I mean, while banks are often seen as a proxy to the economy and our economic growth has been pretty resilient, but yet the numbers here released by EPF, though, doesn't really paint a very pretty picture because, you know, for their domestic equity impairments, right, about half of it came from banks, you know. So again, I mean, and also going back to the point that you raised there, Chuang, you know, why are we asking about Dato' Sheryl about 2017 now? It's because, you know, they would have to make these investment decisions early on, right? Because, you know, again, you know, we are in 2017. You know, he has seen lower dividends. He has seen that high impairment right there. So, you know, and he did say, like we heard him just now, EPF is patient capital, right? So it is long term. But if he's going to, you know, navigate, you know, some of these short term challenges, he has to do it now, right? In order for us to get hopefully back up to 6% dividend, I hope.
Well, I think we'll get more details on the impairment portfolio, I think, in the first quarter results. And we'll have to really analyze it and reflect that it's oil and gas and banks which are the biggest contributors to that impairment. But the thing is, and being cautiously optimistic, to coin a tired old phrase, oil's on the way back, and as well as banks. So maybe 2017 could be another banner year. Who knows?
All right.
Well, 6%. 6%. That'll show you.
Okay, we've got the Breakfast Grill coming up after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. Kim Young-hyun, CEO of MPCJ Wow Shop, Sindram Berhad, will be joining me on The Grill. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.